So today on Idiots Go Running, we have Gary and Gillian. Say hello, Gary or Gillian.
Hello, I'm Gary.
On our show, we've got a guest who likes to run.
Do they really?
Do they jog around the place just for fun?
That's not fun.
Are they a special, a professional athlete?
Nope.
Lining at the start with the elite. It don't matter. We've got a guest on our show. Woo-hoo! Because we asked and they didn't say no. It don't matter. Because our show has a guest.
It does.
Pretty much because we asked and they said yes.
Yes!
Gary and Gillian, would you call yourselves race directors for We Run Wild NI?
Yeah, I would say so.
So, Gary, tell us about how you got started with We Run Wild NI. It's a bit of a mouthful for me, I apologize.
All right, it's a mouthful for me too. How we got started, kind of been running for a long time, and I always thought I'd like to organize an event or a race. And Gillian and I had gone out for, we'd gone out for a run one day. We were running down through Island McGee, and we kind of got an idea in our head. Wouldn't it be lovely to organize an event around Island McGee? Because in the distance, you could see the Game of Thrones, where they, you know, they had the wall. And we talked about it. And then it kind of evolved from there. So we finally got round. We didn't end up doing that particular event, but we decided, yeah, why not try it and see what happens? So it's kind of evolved from there.
It's just evolved from an idea of starting that run. And you were in the running before. I'm assuming yours were both big in the running.
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of.
I would say for about maybe 5 or 6 years before we started We Run Wild, we had got big into running. Like we were doing marathons and back-to-backs like every weekend. And at that stage, there were very few marathons in Northern Ireland. So we spent every weekend either traveling to England, Wales, Scotland, down south, back-to-back, doing stupid stuff. Then we kind of got into ultras, 50 milers, 100 milers. So at that stage, yeah, we were heavy into it.
And when did you actually start We Run Wild, and when did you actually get into ultras? If you don't mind me asking your age.
Well, this year I will be 61.
Wow, so congratulations.
I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I started running in 2000. So I've been running continuously now for 24 years. I took the idea in my head because it was going to be a big year. It was going to be the millennium. I'd like to do something that I would look back on and think, you know, well, I've done something for the millennium. And I joined a running club, started running. So that's basically where it came from.
I started 13 years ago, maybe. So I had never run before. And then kind of started because I was overweight and just wanted to lose weight. And then did like a half marathon and a marathon. And then decided to join the local running club in Carrick. And then that's how I met Gary. And then we kind of together got into the crazy stuff. Because when I met Gary, he had done 20 marathons and I had done one. And I was like, oh my, how could you ever run 20 marathons? So he kind of really inspired me to start doing more. And then the two of us just, got into like the crazy stuff.
But we run wild going about 4 years now, in and around about 4 years.
So obviously you guys have more than one event now. How many events do you have through the marathon season? And what does an ultra marathon season look like? Is it all year?
No, it's basically whenever we want to put one on. there's no set time really for ultra marathons. You know, it just depends. Depends on where it is, depends on the location, whether it's feasible or not.
Yeah, and how many events do you have throughout the year on average?
About 10.
And they span all over Ireland?
We haven't got into the south of Ireland yet. Watch this space, but we haven't there yet. Yeah, so we are looking, but we haven't got there yet. But yeah, we've lately tried to expand around the countryside. So we are looking at other different locations. So yeah, we're trying to get away. Obviously, you stick to your home turf that you're used to, but those routes then become kind of boring after a while, and people get fed up doing the same route. So they're always looking for something different, and that's what we're trying for.
I think the thing was, well, like Gary's, and it, We Run Wild DNI was entirely Gary's conception. But Gary really didn't want to just put on another running event. He wanted to do something different. And I guess he and we both were really inspired by different events that we had done all around the world. And his real thing was like initially whenever we set up the marathons, we used a road book. So generally, typically our events, they aren't signed, they aren't marshalled. So the initial conception was to follow a road book. And that was kind of inspired, as I say, by events we had done in Berlin and England. So it was kind of to try and bring a different concept. And we've held on to that. So we don't typically do, for example, like we only have one event a year, Gary, is that right? Where there's signs out and it's on. It's not really on a looped course. It's like two loops. But we generally try to stay away from typical run-of-the-mill stuff. So our events are so different. So for a while and while we were setting the company up, it was really important to us to stay local, to try and test everything out, test the water, see what we thought of it. So it's only really now that we're kind of able to try and expand and to look at other places, you know, to set up events.
It's you're bringing your love of running and your experience and actually bringing it on the back home onto our doorstep where I've grown up all my life. And you touched on a thing there that you've ran in various places around the world. Like, where's all the places you've kind of ran?
Well, we've done all the usual. We've done multiple events down south. We've ran a lot in England, including marathons, ultras. We did 10 marathons in 10 days. Twice over in England. We've done Snowdonia in Wales. I'm sure we've run in Scotland. We've done the Fling, the Highland Fling in Scotland. One of the most memorable for me was Jungfrau Marathon in Switzerland.
Okay, and why was that?
Oh, it was just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And just the scenery, the route, the people, my brother loves the food on the way.
Yeah, scenery probably would be, you know, because you're starting at Interlaken, you start at the bottom of Interlaken and you run to the top of the Jungfrau Mountain, you know, and I'll say using the word run very, very loosely, obviously, but, you know, the experience of getting from the bottom to the top, halfway up there, almost near the top, they've a Scottish Piper pen that pipes. In the distance, you can hear the snow, you know,
avalanches. We're talking about Switzerland, yeah?
Switzerland, yeah. So on
Scottish
that particular
Piper?
Yeah, they have a Piper which plays the bagpipes up on the way up or near the top of the Jungfrau Mountain. You know, wow. It's absolutely amazing. But yeah, so that would be...
That was really good. And then probably the pinnacle was the MDS, the Marathon de Sable, which we did in 2015.
Five years ago.
So that's like 250 kilometers over 5 days across the Sahara Desert. Once in a lifetime, probably will never be repeated. And that was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was an amazing event.
Was it tough?
It was tough. Yeah. Tough. But a fantastic, you know.
The training for it was really tough. You have to train with like a weighted backpack on. You have to prepare your feet. You know, it's very difficult, obviously, living here to prepare for the heat. Yeah, really tough event, but amazing.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've run in other places too. Obviously, the usuals, you know, Germany, Amsterdam. We've done Amsterdam Marathon, Berlin Marathon, Las Vegas, Slovakia, Marine Corps Marathon, Washington. Yeah, so we've been around a little bit. You know, there's still lots more out there.
Yeah. There's still lots more out there. That's amazing. And you brought all this back home. So what you're trying to tell me is that you've got these experiences and you're bringing them back. So on this 108-mile race, the Northern Ireland 100, there's a chance of there's someone with bagpipes. Is that what you're saying?
No bagpipes. You never know. There could be a first. It could be a first, actually.
I think you need to take these experiences and bring them back. It doesn't have to be that person playing the bagpipes, but you could have someone playing them. So obviously, I mentioned about the Northern Ireland 100. And what's your favorite part of the course?
The finish.
So do you run it yourself every year with everyone?
No, we don't. We don't run it as a complete event ourselves. What we do is we take people out and we take them across different sections of the course. So we break it down into three, basically into three sections, you know, so the first section, second, and then we leave the last, the actual last part of it then for everybody to do, because it's probably the easiest section to do.
We have run it as a non-stop event ourselves, the boat course, because we always do that, because you can't possibly expect to understand what people are going through on that type of event unless you run it non-stop. But I'll be frank, it took us a few occasions.
Yeah.
It took us a few times. We ourselves had a few DNFs trying to do it as a non-stop. So I guess that, yeah, I think it was our fourth attempt actually before, because obviously we're just going out and running it ourselves with everything on our back, no access to anything through. So I think we had three failed attempts. But you know what? That just allows us to see as race directors how difficult a course it is, so we can fully appreciate, you know, how challenging it is for everybody out there.
Our opinion is kind of along the lines of, if we can't run the event ourselves, then we won't put that on. Because we, you know, there are people who go out there and say, oh, you could just go and run from here to there and it's easy. You know, you could do that. But, you know, we do all of our own runs, and to make sure that they can be, you know, safely done, and then we put them on.
So I signed up for this event, and I think I read it was 106 miles, and then a few weeks later I was like 108 miles, right? I'm not worried about them 2 miles. They don't bother me. And I tell people I'm going to do a 108 mile run, and they always go 108 mile, and I'm going, yeah, now that you said it, sounds pretty odd. Like, when you even Dean Karnazes, who was on our show, says that 100 miles tough, but that 8 miles gonna suck. So can I ask a question? Why did you add on that 8 mile? There has to be a reason.
It basically was down to logistics, and that's really what it was. So the start point and the end point obviously needed to align. So you'll start in Ballantoy and you run to Port Ballantrae, which is the first, and that part of the coastline. So that's 13 mile, and you're along the Causeway coast, the Giant's Causeway. So for me to take that 8 miles of that out, it kind of would have taken away quite a, you know, a lot on the course. So I just thought, well, it's only 8 miles, sure.
It's only 8 miles. If you can do it, it's only 8 miles. Do you know what? That is something. I'm gonna record this. I'm gonna take a snapshot of that and see when me and Andrew get to that 100 mile mark. I'm gonna record that. I'm gonna, Andrew, listen to this. It's only 8 miles. And do you know what? I promise I will tell you what comes out of Andrew's mouth whenever I do that. Which, speaking about Andrew, he would love to be on the show, right? And Andrew has a question for everybody. And I always do this, and I always apologize for this question.
Andrew asks a question.
What will it be?
Andrew asks a question.
Just wait and see.
Andrew asks a question.
A mystery key, unlocking the answers with some curiosity.
Sorry, I can't be on the podcast with you, but I do have a question for you. And the question is this. Do you know the food stations? I am so excited about these food stations. In fact, one of the things that made me do the Northern Ireland, or sign up to the Northern Ireland 100, is because of the food stations. It had coffee, it had soup, it had other things, and I really just want to, I've really got a series of questions. I want to drill down more into the food and the coffee and the soup. So question number one, the coffee. What kind of coffee is it? Do we have a choice of coffees? Can we get a latte? Can we get one with oat milk? Is there espresso? Is it filter coffee? Is there different kinds of filter coffee? And then the soup, question number two. What kind of soup is it? Do you get it in a bowl? Do you get it in a cup? Do I have to bring my own bowl? Do I have to bring my own straw? My straw? Do I have to bring my own spoon? And then number three question is, what else on this food market do we get? I'm excited. Is there some surprises? Is there a goodie bag when you exit the food market? Do I have to bring your own bags to fill up? Is it like shopping? I'm just not sure. I've never been on a 100 mile run before.
There's Andrew's question. Andrew's all about the food. He's going here because he gets to eat. Do you have a response for that, idiot?
That's a good question. All I'm going to say is bring your bags because there's epic food at all of the aid stations. No. I'm not going to give any promises about the coffee. Coffee is what the coffee is. The soup's amazing. Everybody raves about our soup. The soup will be hot and it'll be wet, and that's
be in a cup that he can drink. You don't need a spoon or a straw.
I absolutely love that. Do you know what?
If he can drink it through a straw, it's water. Let's put it that way. It won't be water.
Oh, good thick soup. And is it meat in it, or is it plant based soup?
No, it'll be.
Yeah. Oh no, it's fit. So at our aid stations, we really want to look after everybody. So we cater for the meat eaters, and we cater for vegetarians and vegans. If you're gluten free, we'll cater for you. If you have allergies, we'll cater for you. Because our main aim is to do the best we can to get everybody round. So all needs are catered for. There'll be everything there. There's soup, potatoes, sandwiches, people pasta. Bring stuff, people make stuff, pasta, porridge. And what I can say is when you cross the finish line at 108 miles, you will be rewarded with the best Belfast breakfast bath you've ever had in your life.
Wow.
Everybody says that. Whether you're a meat eater or a veggie, you will have the best breakfast you've ever had in your life.
Yeah, we've even had vegetarians eating the sausages, the sausage pops at the end.
They were just that good. So I'm obviously plant-based myself. So I'm kind of going, I don't go out to restaurants anymore, okay? I'm gonna speak some truth here. I don't go out into restaurants because see the hassle I have with getting fed in restaurants, and everybody looks at you and everybody thinks you're weird. But I can't believe I'm going to run 108 miles. I always add in that 8. I'll run 108 miles and I'm treated better than I'll be treated in a restaurant. I am so excited, Gary and Gillian, so excited, to the point where you can probably tell because my speech has probably gone up another level and it's faster and I'm just excited. And I'm going to play this to my brother. I'm not even going to edit it and play it to him. I'm just going to play it to him, and my brother is going to be on top of the world. You guys are doing something special, because I promised Andrew, I think I've sent you an email, Gary, where I promised Andrew on an event we did. I said, Andrew, the aid stations are class. They have all these food, you know, maybe not to the level of you guys are promising. I'm really excited about aid stations. But we turned up and they had fruitcake and water, and that's all Andrew got. And it was water from this big jug thing and some fruitcake, and Andrew ate fruitcake. And he was in serious diffs after eating that fruitcake. He was ill. He wasn't feeling well because he kept on going back for more fruitcake. It's all about variety. Guys, that sounds absolutely incredible. I suppose I called you as race directors. Favourite and worst parts of being a race director?
Well, I'm going to just issue a disclaimer and say that when we set up We Run Wild NI, it was a joint venture. It was, and we organised and we did everything together. Due to my work commitments, I would say probably in the last 18 months, I have completely stepped away. I do not know how Gary organises and does what he does. So just to put that out there, the amount of work, because people have no idea, the amount of work that he puts into organising and putting on these events, literally still, I just can't believe how he pulls it off. I mean, he does all this. It's a one-man show, does all of it on his own. I literally sometimes put a post on Facebook and that's about it. Like, I just can't do it anymore. So he does all this himself. So from my point of view, from me being now almost like an outsider, I would say the best bit is the sense of achievement that Gary gets when people commend him for the runs and they have a really good time and new people come in and doing a new experience. I would say the worst bit is you get some negative comments and you get a wee bit of abuse from people, which is entirely unwarranted. And I think as well, it's that whole be kind thing, isn't it? People have very little awareness sometimes of how their words impact you, and just people's lack of respect for actually the work that he puts in. And it's a full-time job. It's incessant. It's licenses. It's seeking permissions. It's running about the whole countryside. It's him spending entire days and nights out wrecking courses. So there's a lot of work that's in him. Sometimes I think it's a thankless job. But on the plus side, I think when you see people coming and doing one of our events, for the first time or the 10th time and they really enjoy it and you see the pleasure on their face crossing the finish line, I'm really proud of Gary for what's done.
And Gary, have you got anything to add to that?
So,
not really, no. No, there's not a lot I can say, you know, that she hasn't said. You know, my biggest satisfaction is seeing people at the finish actually finishing and having enjoyed the event, and that's, you know, and obviously getting there safe, you know, that's the main thing.
And I know myself and Andrew haven't got the finish line, but it's not a thankless task this time, because thank you so much for putting it on. I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. I really am, and it's my one big event this year that I'm doing. Now, I had planned to do Sheep's Head 50 miler down south, and I was really looking forward to that one. It's ran by Endurance Life, but it was called off through Storm Kathleen. So it's in the process of being reset scheduled, but it was actually a warm-up run to yourselves. So this is my big run this year, and I'm so excited, and thank you so much for putting it on. All the work that goes in behind it, I don't know what it is, but I know it's not easy to cover that distance. And, you know, for you to run an event in one hall is hard. For you to run an event over 100 miles in landscape with how many runners have entered this year?
For the ultra, for the 100 mile, there's about 60. For the half, we have in and around about 60. And for the mini, I think we have about 30. So there's quite a few mixed there.
Like, that's a lot, and all different age groups and everything. No, thank you so much for putting that on. The other thing I came across was UTMB qualifier, it says on the website. Is that still a thing, or what does that mean?
Yeah, well, obviously the whole UTMB thing changed over the last few years, and I'm not 100% sure whether I'm totally right here, but the UTMB thing before used to be where a race director would contact them, and they would get points, so you get awarded so many points for that event. If a participant finished the event, then they got points, say maybe 2 points or whatever it was. And then to actually get into the UTMB, you had to have achieved a number of points to actually be able to enter. Well, they changed the whole system, and you now have to enter a proper UTMB event to get in. The most recent one lately is the Arc of Attrition in the south of England. They've just literally been bought over or taken over by UTMB. So that's now an official UTMB event. So to get into that, to be able to take part in that event, where before you would have had to have a qualifier. So you would have said, well, I ran 100 miles. So I'd run the Northern Ireland 100. I finished it, and I was here. I'd done it in such and such a time. And they would go, yeah, that's okay. You've experienced. That won't work in the years to come. So what they want is you must have a UTMB, what they call an index, and it's free to have this. So it is. So you'll run the Northern Ireland 100. You'll register. If you go on and register with UTMB, register yourself as a runner. Whenever you're finished, I send the results, and then you will get awarded points as an index point. It doesn't mean you've run an official UTMB event, but the only way to get into an official UTMB event is to have a runner's index, a UTMB index. Supposedly a benefit for us to have that on our race, because it may attract people who are looking to get into the like of the Arc of Attrition or Snowdonia. Those are the only two events. Yeah, so they're the only two events at the moment in the UK that are official UTMB events. And I'm led to believe there's more coming, but you can't take part in those if you don't have a UTMB index. Our race will give you those UTMB index points.
That is actually another reason I looked at it and I seen it. And I think I also emailed you to say, like, just what does this actually mean? But you've summed that up absolutely perfectly. And I was looking at Snowdonia because it was kind of the only one. And I thought, I can dip over to Snowdonia if I can gather enough points, which is in the Northern Ireland 100. I think we've been through a lot. I've asked you a lot of stuff. I'm going to share this on our Instagram. And thanks so much, guys, for coming on today. And I've got one last question for you. And this is probably actually a perfect question for yourselves. If you could either create or run one last race, and it can be anywhere with anyone It can be real, fictional. It can be on the moon. What would that race look like if you were to use your wildest imagination? Any race, what would it be?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. Mrs. Connolly, any thoughts on that?
I would probably say, well, my favourite distance is 100 miles. So it would be 100 mile and it would be the far out. Where it would be, I don't know. Kind of the MBS still draws me back. So it would probably be a 100 mile run with Gary across a desert somewhere. I would say for me, that's what it would be.
Yeah, me looking at that, I would be, you know, before she said that, I would immediately said, oh, back to the MDS. But if I was able to kind of, you know, mix routes and put things together, it would be the like of the MDS. It would be sections of our Northern Ireland 100 along the coastline, up through hills. You know, we done 100 mile in Wales last year. The scenery was unbelievable, fantastic. You know, that took in beaches, mountains, trails. You know, those are the kinds of events that I would be looking to put together.
That actually sounds incredible. So what you're really saying is, and me to stick on my creative head, okay, here we go, is that you start off, you're running, you're on the coast, you go through a tunnel, the tunnel brings you out in the middle of Wales, and then you go through Wales, you have amazing scenery, you go through a tunnel, it brings you out in the middle of the Sahara, and then you go through another tunnel, and think that would be like some sort of transportation device as you go through the tunnels. Do you know what? I would love that race. I would absolutely love that race.
That would be an epic run, yeah.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. But you're the first sign up then.
Oh, how much is it? What are you joking? And is it a UTMB qualifier? That's my two questions. And do you do SUP? Because then Andrew will come.
Yeah,
so you might have two. Yeah. But no, look, guys, thank you so much for coming on and chatting to me today. I really appreciate your time, taking your time to come out and talk to us, because I know you're two very busy people with work life and with We Run Wild NI. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, we have enjoyed it. Yes, thank you very much for having us on, and thanks so much for waiting for so long to have us on as well. Sorry about that.
You're worth the wait.
I don't know about that. And the biggest thanks of all is for having the confidence to come along and take part in the Northern Ireland 100. We're really looking forward to seeing you and your brother there. So, yeah.
We are the idiots, and we will be rocking our idiot gear. Will you be at the starting line?
I'll be at the start. I'll be at the finish. I'll be in between.
When you're loving life, we'll be there. When you get to the 100 miles, don't forget, you've only got another 8.
So go.
Suck it up and get on with it. It's all good.
Suck it up and get on with it.
Yeah, suck it up, buttercup.
Before you go, I promise I will let you go. Andrew's going to get a McDonald's delivered. Is that okay?
Of course.
100%.
Yeah, as long as he has one for us.
As long as he has one for you. You tell me where you're going to be. And do you know what? I'll tell Andrew that you will cover the cost and he will be over the moon.
Not a problem.
No problem. Guys, thank you again so much for coming on the day and coming on the Idiots Go Running podcast.
No worries. Thanks, Colin. All the best.